What's Mary talking about? She's talking about what you're talking about.
Tell me now.
It's Mary Whedon and you.
Maybe you better leave the radio on,
huh? Here on 97.3 FM, Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's do it.
Good morning, Central Mississippi. Welcome to Mary Whedon and you and me. I'm Rebecca Turner. I'm still filling in for Mary as she recovers from her surgery. Will, it's been, 2 weeks now? Is she up and walking? Is she got a cane? Does she have a walker?
She's doing PT.
Yep. Well,
which
that's
I
good.
Think stands for physical training. I don't know what else it would stand for.
It's Friday. My brain's not clunking really quickly, or I was trying to come up with very smart. So physical therapy means we're headed in the right direction with her. Well, it's a beautiful day here in the metro compared to what it was yesterday. The sun is shining. The weather feels great. And there was absolutely no traffic, which means everybody has spring break-itis, right? You don't understand that, Will.
Well, my wife goes on spring break.
Ah! Because you just married that young, or does she just work at school?
Good one.
So she just works at a school, and I know our guest who's joining us here on Mary Whedon and you, Rob, you too probably have spring break-itis, or at least your kiddos do, right?
Certainly my wife does with Chisisi, a preschool teacher, so she definitely has it, and the kids have it, so they are eager to take a break.
My daughter woke up. It's so funny how our brains work, though, right? Because you can think about it even when you're looking forward to a vacation or maybe a holiday season. You dread Monday through, Thursday, right? And then you get to Friday, and because you know it's the last day before, a long weekend or a break or whatever it may be, you get this burst of energy and excitement. I mean, my daughter is not a morning person. We have prayed about it. We've wrestled with it. She feels perpetually offended that she has to go to school. And I'm like, you are just at the beginning of it, sweetie. but this morning, man, she knew it was the last day. Spring break's coming. She got out of bed, got dressed in her little, Dr. Seuss outfit that's rounding out this week, and literally whistled out the door. And I'm thinking, wow, can we just lie to her that each week there's something to look forward to, the next week or whatever it may be? But anyway, so many of you are gearing up for spring break, so I know that's exciting. But that's not why I brought you here to be with us today, Rob. It's also a good time to catch up on all things banking. And then you have a really unique story with your racing, which I guess next week would be a good week to get out and enjoy some running. But let's start with your day job, because you're a banker.
Yes.
Or is that the right sort of terminology for it?
Absolutely. I would definitely say I'm a banker and, financial advisor and one who looks to, serve and help, my clients.
Serve and help your clients. Okay, so many of your clients are those listening today on Mary Whedon and you. Hopefully, we've done our taxes, or at least thought about our taxes.
Yes.
Now, I know you're not a CPA in that respect, but if the Lord's willing and the creek don't rise, so to speak, we may get something back from our taxes. Hopefully, fingers crossed, or you don't necessarily have to pay in. For those of us who may be on that side of getting a tax return, Rob, what would you tell your clients would be a smart way of utilizing that?
Yeah, so what I would encourage them is to resist the temptation of going out and, buying that item that they've been wanting, but I would encourage them to pay off debt. So if they have credit card debt or other kind of debt, I'd encourage them to pay that debt off or put it into a savings account, put it as a nest egg, because there's going to be an unexpected expense coming down the road. So put it aside while you have it, because you'll need it eventually. So I know the temptation is go ahead and, when you get that money back, to go ahead and spend it. But I would encourage people just to kind of take a deep breath and to think about it and try to save it or try to pay off some debt if they can.
When you're thinking about paying off debt, because I know that's a very individualized sort of approach, because I don't think no two people have the same, number of debt or the ways they've incurred debt or whatever it may be. Is it true, though, you start to hear sort of trendy things over the time, particularly when you get of the age, you start thinking about paying it off after you've acquired it all. You should start with low-hanging fruit and work your way up, or should you attack that really big one and then work your way down?
No, I like your idea first. Pay off the stuff that's smaller and then work your way to the bigger stuff. You want to celebrate those small wins and go ahead and knock those out. But when you look at your statements and you see how much interest you're paying, just think about that money that you could save if you go ahead and discipline yourself and make more than just that minimum payment.
Okay, you brought up a word that I know I should know more about, interest. But I understand how it works in terms of, if you borrow money, you're going to pay back a certain interest. But when you see something small, like 4, 5, 3, I mean, you feel like that's tiny. And then, you know, I know some credit cards even jump up higher into the doubles. So, and I feel you getting tense, like, oh God, it's a big interest rate, right? So for the elementary sort of understanding of, how do you try to help clients when they are opening credit cards or buying a home or refinancing to look at interest rates from like a good perspective?
Yeah, so starting with credit cards, you know, one thing, especially when I'm talking to students, and I would say that I'm not necessarily a huge fan of credit cards, so I kind of, you know, caution them with getting into credit cards. But the thing I encourage them the most is, you know, make sure you pay them off completely each month, because that way you don't want to pay any interest. You know, they're going to get those statements where the minimum payment is going to be $10 or $15 usually. But if, for them to realize, hey, if there's a balance of $150 or $200, what that number is, pay it off completely. Because if you don't, you're going to pay interest. And it's going to continue to accumulate, and it's going to be bigger next month. And so you want to start them off in that right habit. When it comes to your mortgage, you know, a lot of people are you're going to get a 15- or 30-year mortgage. So, you know, if they can pay extra, I mean, obviously I would encourage that, but not necessarily as much as in making sure you pay off your credit cards.
Now, you can tell me if this is beyond your scope of practice, but I don't think it is. What, with the coronavirus and everything that sort of happened, we're hearing that the feds took, you know, the big leap and dropped it 0.5 point. What does that mean to the everyday sort of consumer?
Yes, so certainly if you're in the market of buying a new house or possibly even refinancing, so if for the everyday person, I would encourage them to go out there and look at their mortgage and look at that rate, because just this morning I saw where the 30-year fixed mortgages is, I think, 3.29, and 15-year fixed is below 3. And so kind of the rule of thumb is, if you can save 1%, it'd be worth refinancing. So I would encourage people to look at their
Is your mortgage about the only thing that you can refinance? I know that's something we hear about, but I mean, I've never bought a car. We've always done used or paid cash or whatever in that respect. It's just something I was taught from young age. But can you refinance that, or does that come into consolidating too, or help me walk
so
walk
great
me through
questions.
That.
So I'm more on the commercial side, and so there's lots of times where I'll be talking to a client and they'll have a fixed rate, and I'm able to come to them and say, hey, what if we offer you this, and kind of extend their terms, lock in a lower rate. And so, yeah, so especially with commercial loans, I mean, lots of times you'll lower the rate and extend it a lot longer. Not necessarily, you know, with the cars. I mean, you could certainly do it, but
that should be a short-term loan anyway.
It should be, correct.
You shouldn't be paying for a car longer than it's going to keep up with you, right?
Yes.
Yes. So that would be one thing to sort of think about. I saw this interesting thing, and I'm keeping it from memory, Rob, and I know as a financial advisor as well as in the banking business, you'd probably make you cringe. But as a radio host for Mary Whedon and you, as well as Good Things, so I got this – I get people send me topics all the time, and one person sent me a topic that said – how to live like a millionaire on $30,000 a year. And everything it listed under there obviously was geared towards a younger generation that's looking to live higher on the hog on Instagram than maybe what they actually are. But it made me cringe, you know, and I'm not even the best with money. But one of them was to lease like a luxury car, don't own. The other thing was to like rent your clothes, don't necessarily buy. And to each his own. I don't feel like anybody listening to us today is probably necessarily in that boat. You're probably still at school trying to have spring breakitis. But when you think about the leasing of the car versus the owning of the car when it comes to your financial future, what's your advice on that?
I'm not a big fan of leasing, because at the end of the lease, you have nothing to show for it. So I would encourage either buy a very, very used car, or, you know, if you can buy a newer car with extremely low rate, that's probably the way that I would go. But, you know, like you were saying earlier, if you can pay cash and not even have to get a loan, that's the ideal situation to go.
It never helped. I mean, it always helps when Mother Nature comes around and sends you this great big ice storm. And I think the one we incurred here in the metro area this past week isn't anything like the one we saw. Oh, help me out, Will. This is going to have been, or you may even remember, Rob, 5, 7, 8, 9 years ago. We were still living out in Gluckstadt area, so we're probably 8 or 9, maybe even 10 years ago. Do y'all remember the huge ice storm that came that pretty much dented every car in a 30-mile radius? Do you remember that? Anyway, mm-hmm. It was like overnight, people went crazy because their insurance and stuff didn't necessarily cover it. And it goes to show you, everybody who had paid cash for that clunker, mm-hmm. they didn't really care about the hailstorm or whatever sort of came through. You get a little more anxious and attached to something that you know you paid a little more money for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gosh, I remember that. In fact, I was renting cars at that time for traveling for work. And I won't plug them, but they were running ragged with people trying to get their cars in to fix. And I think there was all these pop out people that could fix it. Anyway, you want to do your due diligence if you're having any sort of roof or car work done in that respect. But I kind of digressed with that. But all to say, though, we have this opportunity, I think, every time you feel like if you get tax returns back, which is what I was starting with you, Rob. It's almost like this, you know, bit of money you get to start fresh with. It's mm-hmm. this, even if it's a small $1,000 or $2,000 or a handful, you feel like you have this new opportunity to use it in the best way. Would you do, if you had low hanging fruit enough, say you got $2,000 back mm-hmm. in your tax return mm-hmm. and you had collectively speaking $2,000 worth of low hanging fruit debt. Should you just go ahead and wipe all of that out, or should you place some of it in savings and then wipe some of it out?
I mean, if you can discipline yourself to put it in savings and not touch it, then I would probably encourage people to put a little bit in savings just for that rainy day, whether your car breaks down or that whatever that issue is that comes up. But paying down debt is certainly important. But you do want to have excess funds. Like I said, just for those emergency cases. But you got to be disciplined and not spend that money.
What's the rule of thumb? I liked the rule of thumb of 1%. You should think about refinancing if you can get 1%. That's easy to remember. In terms of having a rainy day fund, obviously you need something.
Right.
But what in terms of your everyday living cost should you have in savings as a backup?
Kind of the rule of thumb is between 3 and 6 months, That's a lot of money,
yeah.
And I realize that. So,
how much you spend now, or how much you actually need? Because those two figures are probably
right.
very skewed.
So I would base off what your income is. So you based off what you bring in each month. If you could possibly save three.
So if you brought in $2,000 a month, just for the sake of equations, you would want $6,000 in savings.
Yes, which is a lot of money.
Which is
hard. So I don't.
Thought we were doing good, Rob.
Yes.
Going downhill quick.
But each person's different. So right. Just putting something to the side and not having to live off your credit cards is important. So I encourage people, discipline yourself. Well, even if it's putting $50 aside a month or $25, being able to not to spend money on that coffee or maybe not go out to eat as much. Those are the small steps you can take to putting money aside.
All right. So next question. So a lot of us are thinking about or have kids that are going, not me, but there's many that's thinking they're graduating in May, they're going off to college, they're starting this sort of, adultish life, and they're not going to be able to get that first car in their name, or they're not going to be able to, get the apartment or the next step without credit. So how do parents responsibly help their children build good credit, but good credit that they understand?
Matt, fantastic question. And it goes, each child and each parent is going to be individual. The ideal situation, if a parent can get on a credit card with a child, if a child is responsible enough and realizing that, that the child needs to make those payments, mm-hmm. I would certainly get like a extremely low balance or low limit. But that would be the ideal way to go. If they're not, another good way is getting a secured credit card, which most banks offer, where you send, I think you start at $300, send off $300 to a company, and they'll send you a credit card back. And so the student's using their own money, but they're establishing credit. And that's what I was telling students earlier this month. It's hard to get credit now, whereas when I was growing up, it's much easier.
Will, I'm curious. How did you establish credit? Did your parents help you at all, Will, with credit?
Not really.
Was that even a conversation?
I never really bought anything on credit. I would always try to pay cash for it.
Which is that catch-22, and it definitely depends on either your mindset. If you're in an older generation, then your parents were even from a different generation, and they highly recommended cash for everything. My dad was a cash for everything person. My mom, a little younger, she started me with a credit card long before I even knew. I ever saw it or used it or swiped it, and sort of helped me up. But we sat down and they gave me like a huge come to Jesus meeting that basically they brought me into this world and they brought my credit up and they would and if I ruined it, then they would either take me out or take it down, or you know, or whatever it may be. So I was definitely aware that they had put in effort to at least give me that launching pad of good credit.
And credit is so, so important. And I was fortunate because when I was in 11th grade, my dad said, son, let's go to the bank. Let's get you a credit card. At the time, you know, I was not very interested in that. But he taught me, he said, you know, whatever you put on it, you pay it off. And I've been very, very fortunate. And I've really lived by that motto. And credit's not been much of an issue for me. And that's what I try to tell students. I mean, your credit is so important. I mean, it affects so many parts of your life, whether you're going to get a job, how much you're going to pay on a loan, your insurance. So it's not just related to just
banks. And is it true, Rob, that it only takes like one faulty payment to start to really nick away at your credit? Or does it has to be like a pattern of behavior of not paying your...
I mean, it has to be a pattern. I mean, one late payment's not necessarily just going to nosedive your credit score, but also you want to have a history.
That's not what my
there.
Daddy told me.
You don't want to miss a payment for sure. But if you have a long history out there and you happen to miss a payment, hopefully it's not your mortgage payment because that does hurt. It's not going to be in the world. But really, you know, you want to make those payments. And when I tell customers, when your payment's due on, you know, March 5th, it's due on March 5th. You know, not March 6th, not March 7th. You know, March 5th or before.
They should lie to you and tell you it's like March 3rd, but really in the small print, okay, March 5th will be all right, to sort of help a brother out, right?
Because that's not a bad idea.
But, you know, anything you can do, electronic payment, that really helps with the scattered brainness, mm-hmm. especially those really important ones like your mortgage and things of that nature. Okay, if you have, maybe you're listening to Mary Wheaton and you, Robin, you're like, okay, I've already, you know, snubbed and found myself with maybe some poor credit. Are there easy ways that you can dig yourself out of a disgraced hole when it comes to your credit score? And I think that's a good place to sort of pause, and we will answer that question and more coming up next here on Mary Wheaton and You. I'm Rebecca Turner, guest hosting for Mary Wheaton. As she recovers from her surgery, she will be back before you know it. But just to let you know, you can listen to Super Talk Jackson on 97.3, which is your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. But you can also watch what happens at Mary Wheaton and You and the rest of your Super Talk shows over at supertalk.fm/watch. And while I have you listening to all the ways you can tune in to our shows, make sure you follow us on YouTube, social media of your choice, and then also Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can find the app. Will, have I told you I found the app on our Roku?
Did you?
Very weird to sort of see yourself, you know. I mean, you click it. It's the ad channel. I was walking Perez through it the other day because he has Amazon Fire. And, you know, you just add the channel and there it is. And it comes up like a menu, just like any other channel does for you to watch back or on demand. You pick your show, whether you know, it's one of the other shows, or I don't know if Mary Wheaton and You or the Metro is on there, but
yeah, they are.
Okay, and then you literally click it by the day and just sit there and watch what happens in here at the comfort of your own home.
It's weird to watch yourself, though,
isn't
it?
You have no idea. Which, Rob, you can go home and watch yourself today if you have Amazon Fire or Roku, or I guess you could see it on YouTube sort of as well. But you'll be busy at the bank,
yes.
So you won't be taking part in that, helping people make their financial decisions. We didn't mention, where exactly do you work? Where are you coming to us from today?
So I work at Priority One Bank, and my office is on Highway 80 right across from Rogers Dabbs.
All right. So if we are listening to Mary Weeden You, this is where we left off, and maybe we do feel like we have a disgraced credit score, which you should never feel guilty about. I mean, maybe you made poor choices, but you can always dig yourself out of just about any hole, correct?
Correct.
So how can I respectfully do that without completely living in a tent and eating PB&J for, 6 months to a year?
So I would encourage that person, one, to, talk to their banker. And so after that, you want to find out, what's on your credit. Because I know there's certain credit places you can go, like Credit Karma and these other places that you can pull the information off that will tell you what's on your credit. What I caution people, though, is when you're doing that, you get so many free pulls a year that won't hurt your credit. But make sure you get what you want. So if you're wanting your score, you can get that. If you're wanting to know what's on your credit, you can get that also. In the case where you're trying to build your credit or improve your credit, you're probably going to want to know what's on there because lots of times I have a lot of people come in and say, well, Rob, I didn't know this was on there or that was on there. But when you know what's on there, that way you can start cleaning it up. Maybe you didn't pay the trash bill 1 month and they charge it off. So the chances are a lot of smaller things. I just see a lot of medical bills.
Why is it that they ding you for keeping up with your own score?
Well,
after so many pulls?
I think, and this is my opinion, though, they don't want to see somebody just apply for...
usually it only gets pulled if you're applying for
exactly,
something.
Exactly. Okay. So, when you're going out to buy a car loan sometimes, if you go to certain dealerships, I kind of caution people. Sometimes they'll, they won't pull it once, but they'll pull it multiple times because they're kind of shopping that rate out there. So you really want to treat your credit very, very carefully because you're right. Each time you do pull it, it's going to hurt unless you do one of the free pulls through these other places.
All right, so I have my credit score in front of you, and I come to a financial advisor or banker like you, Rob, and I sit down and I say, whoops, the trash didn't get paid, or there are medical bills I didn't know, slipped under me. How do you start when you mention cleaning that up? How do I clean that up?
So you go, you do your homework. So hypothetically, if you didn't pay your Rain County trash bill, that means that's kind of step one. You want to get in contact with them, go ahead and settle up. Chances are it's going to be more than, what that original bill is for. Or in a situation where it's been sent to a collection agent, you want to go ahead and get contact with those guys, and you want to make sure you always, always get stuff in writing or through an email, because when you get that bill settled, you want to make it sure it comes off. And, if you don't have it in writing or some kind of documentation, it may not happen.
Oh, that's good advice.
And so take, you got to take one issue at a time. And it does take time, but you can get there.
But you can get there. So I guess I've never thought of my credit score, too, as sort of being like – the naughty list for Santa on making poor financial decisions. It's sort of where it all just gets dumped, right? It's
right.
Your collection of your condensed history of payment. And if they're not happy with you, then they stamp you with that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And credit doesn't tell the whole story by any stretch of imagination,
right.
But it does tell a lot. And so, you really want to, work on building that credit.
Well, too, because I think it has a lot to do with financially setting up for your future, which is something you definitely don't think about in your 20s, but you should. I mean, we've seen the graphics. I'm sure you may not off the top of your head, but it's like if you start saving, it seems like chump change in your early 20s or teens, you could be, maybe not Mike Bloomberg, but,
yeah.
A percentage of him by the time you're well into your 50s and 60s. But we don't have that kind of brain or give that kind of care at 20. But when you start getting closer to 40 and sort of over, you really start to thinking about retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But retirement's just as scary to me as thinking about saving for my children's college fund. I really don't understand how we do it all. How do we provide Rob a decent home and food on the table? Also doing, college savings for a kid, also doing, for proper 401k, like, help.
Yeah.
Is that what you're here to do?
Yes,
help?
Yeah. So I'm asking myself,
Self the same question.
But I have four kids in school, and, two of them at Magnolia Speech and another two at different other schools. And so, I asked myself that same thing, but I think you got to be wise, and life is expensive. Life is hard. But you gotta resist the temptations. Like for me personally, you know, it's time. I've had my car for 13 to 14 years. Time to get a new one. So I'm looking for a used car that I can pay for cash instead of getting some nice new fancy new car. But I think you gotta take, you know, one issue at a time. But it's tough.
It is tough. And I will say, I think it's the car thing. I think it gets played out sometimes. And I know it's nice to get the new car smell and sort of all of that. But that is one thing in our family, at least, that has been super helpful with getting us in other places and getting us other things that we enjoy more, mm-hmm. or for our family, is not having that car note.
Right.
And, you know, it's cool to ride around in whatever it is that you like. But it's also really cool to get to go do vacations and get to, you know, have maybe a little bit bigger house or whatever that is, that, you know, when you put your money where you want to put it, for sure it's your money to do that. But if you feel like, oh, I couldn't ride around in a clunker, yeah, you can. Not really a clunker, safe clunker, but yeah, you can. And you won't miss, you're only in it a smidge of the day anyway.
Exactly. And then you're exactly right, for us it's, you know, our children's education. So yeah, that's where our money goes.
That's where your money goes. And I know that's probably, too, why you started some of your side hustle.
Yes.
In terms of helping,
yes,
with that. And there's a second part to Rob, and he runs Sisu.
Yes, very good.
Yes, racing company, which helps time events. And one thing I love about your side hustle there, Rob, is the fact that you always tie to events that are giving back and doing really good things here in our area. How did something like that even start? Was it a financial decision or was it a passion decision?
A little bit of both. But before we leave banking completely, for your audience out there, if you don't have a banker you can go to and you just want somebody to talk to and it didn't cost you anything, please contact me, and I'd love to talk to you about any issues. But 601-941-5006. That's 601-941-5006. Even if you don't have an account with Priority One Bank, I would love to help you out any way I could, even if it's just offering advice. But I'm here to serve and help. After college, I was running a lot of races, and then got married and started having a bunch of kids, and the bills started accumulating. And so that's when I started Sisu Race Timing 7 years ago. And it's a passion and a job.
And a job. Okay, so how does this work? How does how does the race timing work for you?
So, surprisingly, there are a lot of companies out there that do this, but there's a lot of 5K races, especially this time of the year. So from now until June, I think we have something just about every weekend. And so, when an organization, they or a person or a church or school is looking to raise funds, there's certainly different ways that people can volunteer to do that. But one of the best ways is, you know, putting on a 5K. And you're not necessarily going out and, you know, selling, you know, turkeys, or you don't get $2 for wearing jeans at school, but it's a one-day event. It's only a few hours, and then you've made your money. But for me, the exciting part is kind of walking through that process and explaining, hey, these are the expectations. This is the work that's involved. You know, is this something that you and your team think they can handle? And so for me, it's really, really walking with them and forming a relationship with them.
And you've done it for the last sort of 7 years. How do you keep finding the different organizations or churches or whatever? Or now do you have your relationships that you keep doing the same ones year after year?
So we do have a lot of repeats, but majority of our races are repeats. But asking those customers or asking those clients or those friends, hey, do you know somebody that or an organization or a group that needs to put on a race? And because we're always hungry for more. And then also being able to respond. So when somebody calls me or emails me, you know, can you time a race? You'll be able to say right then, hey, we can time it, or hey, we can't time it. I think it's really important for us.
Well, you're liking of it. You can only be in one place on a Saturday.
You're right, but we can time up to three. Maybe
you're growing.
Four races, yes, yes.
So do you have your kids? You mentioned your slew of kids. Are they helping you with the business?
So my oldest, who is 12, yes. So she will, you know, she'll get up at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning and go out there and help me set up the finish line and help me time the race. But I'm teaching them, yes, at a young age. And I'll pay her a little bit. And so she'll put a little bit in tithe, a little bit in savings, a little bit in spending. So trying to teach those important values at a young age.
I think that's really cool. So that's one way you get to help with your kids with the money, is you give they earn it versus doing the whole allowance, which I think the last time you were here with us, we got into it, not a heated, but that's a complicated conversation in and of itself. Will, did you get an allowance when you were a kid?
No.
You got, but okay.
I worked with my dad on like weekends because he was in plumbing and construction, so he would pay me. So it wasn't an allowance.
So you still got, but because if you say you don't do allowance, then your kids are getting money from somewhere. Like, they're buying miscellaneous things with some form of money, whether it's a preset that you give or they earn or it's been given via, you know, tooth fairy or birthdays or whatever it may be. And so I don't think when you say you don't do allowance, you do something because kids are spending money. And so trying to figure out where that starts or how that is can be a very... I don't know what to do with my what's right, what's wrong, you know, do the sort of the right thing. Because I'll have to admit, Rob, the one time she took, I think it was a $20 bill into this horrible place called Claire's, every girl parent just where they do the whole you buy two, get one three at the different price or whatever. And we get to the checkout counter and I'm like, you have $20, that's it. And somehow I ended up walking out of there $30 less plus spending her $20, and I feel like I got robbed. And yet she went away with $50 worth of things, and me, I'm in the hole, and I'm going, I don't know what just happened here. It's harder than it looks to keep your kids responsible when it comes to money at that age.
It is.
So when your 12-year-old though, she's not seven, so she's got a couple of years on her. Does she now look at, oh, the more races I help daddy with, the more money that I make, or doesn't think of it quite
she
that way yet?
She is, I would say, very conservative with her money, so she doesn't like spending it. But no, I don't think she looks at that. I think she looks at, well, I need to go help daddy. But I think she enjoys it, and so it's not something that she regrets. And then for us, it's just a real good bonding time.
Do you still get the opportunity to run 5Ks?
Occasionally. I actually ran the Blues last
week.
Yeah,
how was the new route?
It wasn't bad. A lot of good support and then Fondren in the Midtown area. So they did a really good job.
Really good job. All righty. Well, we're going to keep doing this with Rob coming up next here on Mary Whedon and You.
It's Mary Whedon and You here on 97.3 FM, Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Mary Whedon and You. I'm Rebecca Turner, filling in for her and continuing our conversation here today with Rob Oates. He's a banker, but also a small business owner in the community doing racing timing. But before we get back to Rob, I want to ask Will, how did the opening night of the Ben Shapiro show happen here on Super Talk Jackson?
Well, it was a little interesting.
Complete jab at you, because God bless you. You're the one who was really excited about this and pumped it up. And here we go. It's the first night on Super Talk Jackson, 9 p.m. And
there was a guest host.
It wasn't me.
And
Ben.
So I didn't hear his voice. I heard some other person's voice, and the other person did a good job. But I was like, where's Ben Shapiro? He's supposed to be making his debut tonight. And so I went to his Twitter page to see if
you and two million other people?
Yeah, all of his other followers. And turns out they had a little baby girl.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
And so we will allow him to enjoy some time.
He's got till Monday.
Speaking of baby girls, it's hard to believe mine is 6 months today, which Mary was filling in for me, returning the favor on the Metro during that time. And, I mean, that's half a year ago.
That's crazy.
On a Friday, too. It landed on a Friday that, you know, you welcome in a child and you think, oh, my gosh, it feels like yesterday I brought you home from the hospital. And now we're halfway to, you know, your first birthday. And a half of year has passed, you know, since then. It seems kind of crazy. Rob, I know you mentioned your oldest is 12. How many kiddos do you have?
We have four.
You have four?
Yeah, 6, 8, 10, and 12.
Are they all girls? No, they're not.
First three are the girls. Last one's a boy. And
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, husband listening. I'm not going for number four to get you a... we are done. But no, but we joke with that. And then I know families who choose to have large families roll their eyes when people say things like, you know how that happens. But I will say, once they're here and you've adjusted to it, you can't imagine life. They feel like they were definitely supposed to be there and sort of a part of your family.
Yes.
So now I see why you're a small business owner on the side.
Yes, yes. Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment. Okay, you mentioned your weekends are packed. Tell us what's coming up on the weekend, this weekend, or coming up this spring with your racing, and we can sort of get out and support that.
So this weekend we're actually doing something. Not only do we time races, but we're helping with a race that's coming up next week, and helping this Saturday actually stuff bags and put everything together for them. So we'll do that on Saturday, then again on Wednesday. And then for us, we'll be helping with Run Strong next week. They're putting on a unusual race. It's going to be 24 hours, but it's going to be a marathon. So they're going to be running 1 mile at a time within a 24-hour period. So it's just kind of a different a race. But
you'll stay up for 24 hours and run an hour at a time?
That is my understanding, yes. And so Jeremy Jungling, a friend of mine who owns
Run
Strong.
I'm familiar with Jeremy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's
crazy.
Yes, he is crazy. And so, but we enjoy working with him because he puts on not only just 5Ks, but a lot of different races. So that's the one that he's coming up.
I would need to know. I'm going to have to figure out a little bit more about this, because there's got to be a reason why, and it's usually always tied to a great cause. I know March is here, which means it's colon cancer awareness. There's a formal word, but there's a short word, awareness month. So I'm sure it has something to do with that.
Which leads to his other race later this month, is the Guts to Butts, which would be,
will y'all be timing that one?
So this would be the third year for that, and it'll be back in Flowood at Liberty Park.
So if you're not familiar with this one made headways nationally because they give you foam butts to wear while you're running. So you go out, and so instead of like a medal, you get like the fake foam, stop looking at me like I'm crazy, tushy wooshy wheel to put around your waist. So just imagine hundreds of foam tushy wooshies running at the jiggly sound, you know, or whatever, and to all raise awareness for getting your, you know, appropriate screenings or whatever it may be for colon cancer. But that one has become a mainstay. And anytime you can make it fun, then it takes it sort of to the next level. Is it odd seeing all the butts come across the timing there?
Well, it's odd when you see them leaving and you're looking up and that's all you see is a bunch of butts.
all for a good cause. So those are two. Any others coming up for you?
Yes. So we have Canopy, and this year Canopy they have had their race in Madison the last few years, but now they're having a race in Vicksburg that will be timing, and then their usual race in Madison. In fact, I think they'll have another race in Hattiesburg, so we have that, and we'll be going to Brookhaven later this month to time a race for a school down there. So, I mean, it's just endless races coming up. So,
well, if someone's listening to Mary Whedon and you, Robin, they're like, oh, we've always thought about a 5K for our whatever. What's the first steps that they should take to sort of think if that's a good fit for them in terms of a fundraiser?
So I think one of the best way is to contact a race timer. You know, if it's not me, somebody else, to kind of find out what's all involved, because there's a lot of people who call me or contact me who've never even run a 5K, but it's still kind of a trendy thing to do, and so they think they want to get into it. But you know, what I can do is really tell them, hey, this is what's involved, and you know, these are the steps you want to take, and kind of lay out the work that's involved. And then at that point, if they say, hey, yeah, I'd love to do it, then you know, the second part is finding a date and a location. But you know, for us, it's really, you know, painting that clear picture for them.
I think you also need to think about will your city get behind you and get involved? Because usually the most successful ones that go year after year, it's a community event as much as it is a fundraiser for something in that community.
So it's an event. If you can turn it into an event, then
that's sort of the way to go. You mentioned 7 years. Have you stuck with this, or not stuck with, but have you had a relationship with one race for 7 years? Throw you on the spot.
I think the Mississippi 811 race. I think we've been close time.
And that's a unique one because they offer runners multiple. Like is it 15? It's not just a 5K. They do something different.
There's an 8K.
Yes.
So you're right. And they're always known for, they usually give away a lot of money, which is fairly rare. But they're also their prizes are really, really, really nice.
Really nice. Well, that always gets us out and about to run our races, to help. All right. Well, I know it's Friday. Yesterday was Thursday. Today's Friday. So in a Mississippi Minute, who does Steve have on today?
Cleo Montgomery.
Who is that?
Do you think it's a male or female?
Do you think the Easter Bunny is male or female?
I think the Easter Bunny is whatever color the Easter Bunny happens to be. If it's blue, it's a boy.
Well, what is Cleo wearing?
A football uniform.
Then it's a female because it's a trick question.
No, it's a male.
Oh, darn.
He's a male. He's a, I think he's originally from Greenville. I think his dad played in the NFL. Anyway, he's going to talk about his experiences in the NFL, including winning the Super Bowl with the Oakland Raiders back in the day.
That's cool. Where does Steve find all his guests?
Golf courses, usually. He plays every golf course, and so he meets people, and that's his guests. In fact, his first interview was with a golfer, John Daly. His second interview that he ever did was with Michael Waltrip, the NASCAR driver.
Right.
Who was on a golf course winning money from these older gentlemen.
Oh, I remember that. And he paused. And
he would pause. He's like, okay, I got to put the phone down. I got to make this putt. And then he would come over and he'd say, I just won $20 from them.
That's pretty cool. That takes a whole new level of who's the comedian that does the driving interviews, right? Like you're in the car.
Jerry Seinfeld.
So this is an opportunity to do something different where you conduct interviews from the golf course.
The only problem with the golf course interview is you got a lot of wind usually.
Yeah.
And there's usually when you hook it left or hook it, slice it, whatever.
Don't know none of that terminology.
You don't hit it correctly, Rebecca. Sometimes you utter a word that maybe the FCC discourages you from putting out over the broadcast waves.
That is why we have a dump button.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why we. You know what, though? We've never had to use it here on Super Talk, have we?
No, not once.
What is it? Deniability or whatever it is. When you get it used on you and you don't even realize it, then that's made for a good day. Anyway, in a Mississippi Minutes, right here on Super Talk Jackson 97.3 from 1 to 2. But if you miss it, you can get it and a slew of other podcasts from Super Talk wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Speaking of golf, though, isn't it true that to be a banker, you have to be a golfer?
It's important. But I am a terrible, terrible, terrible golfer.
But you probably at least knew the terminology that Will was using.
I knew the terminology, yes.
Right? And I think running is a lifetime sport that I think everybody should take a part in if they're able. And one thing I failed on, but I think is good too, is knowing golf and tennis. Those are two lifetime sports that can take you further than high school or whatever it may be. They're adult socializing. A lot of business gets done.
I don't say it gets done during tennis, though.
Well, it's because
you're running around and then you get tired and you sit down.
But they all share the same, what do you call that house that y'all go to after?
Clubhouse,
right? So the men are doing the golf, or the women. I'm not saying women don't. Women do golf or tennis. It's just all in that same, you get it.
Yeah, you have drinks afterwards. But with golf, I mean, you're there. There's not a lot of motion besides the hitting of the ball. There's a lot of waiting around.
Golf is about the only sport you can drink and do.
Yes. Yes. Well, in fact, some people are better at it when they drink.
I'm not
and do
saying
it.
You not necessarily you should or it's necessarily condone
now you can drink
that.
And do anything. I mean, it's possible.
Blah. All of those 1 mile beer runs and all that, it just makes me nauseous. I can see the allure. It could be exciting, but blah, 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 blah. But golf would be sort of one of those. But anyway, okay. That I don't know how we ended up on that, Rob. But let's go back to you real quick. How do we find out more about the race timing? Give us their website.
You can find me at sisu.ms. We're also on Facebook, Sisu Race Timing, and then Instagram, Sisu Race Timing, Twitter, Sisu Race. And then once again, if you don't have a banker out there, you have a need or a question, please contact me at Priority One Bank, 601-941-5006.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Rebecca.
All right, stick with us. You got the JT Show coming up next from 10 to 1 in a Mississippi Minute. I'll be back with good things. You'll round out your day with Sports Talk Mississippi. Ben Shapiro may be back tonight at 9 p.m. Who knows? Somebody will be, but we'll be back next week. Until then, have a great day.